The time that we acquired Anniston House, the agreement was drawn up, and this is very important, between the Anniston Foundation, I believe, with Mrs. Anniston, of course, being the person who signed this, I believe, I'm not sure about that, and the Council of the Pittsburgh Section. Be sure you put in the Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women. That agreement, to the best of my recollection, stated that the building was to be used not exclusively, but primarily for the use of senior citizens, that the section could have an office for its president, a workroom in conjunction with the project workshop, a secretary, an office for the secretary to the council, and the use of program meetings occasionally. That was the original agreement. Since that time, of course, that agreement has been, I don't know what you want to call it, extended, or can't say it's forgotten because we've looked it up many times. What's the word that I want to use? Not abrogated.
The agreement was not honored, do you want to say?
Well, I don't want to use that word particularly. It simply has not been enforced as to the original meaning. Now, we've had some battles over this.
Between the
section and the Anniston House Committee.
Right.
But gradually, I think that it's worked itself out. And now the calendar sometimes is extremely full, and we have to find spaces, rooms for the section to hold a meeting. But it's been, it really is all right. It's peaceful today, and it probably is the better way to do it. Although I, for one, objected very strenuously, and I make no bones about it, to the fact that the section came in there in full force, and they had no right to. Absolutely none. And Mrs. Anniston, had she been more aware at the time, would have certainly objected strenuously. But time heals all wounds, and after a while you learn to live with these things, that's all.
You know, I really think it became as important a place for the section as for the council. They found their identity in it too, Dorothy. And
I'm sure
it was
they
so
did.
Beautiful.
I'm sure they did, Frieda, but I don't know how long that's going to be because we're getting more and more people.
Right, right.
And as we get more and more people, senior citizens I'm talking about now, the section is going to have to move out more and more.
Dorothy, I think you need to recount at this point what ultimately led now to the merger of Irene with Irene Cox.
Well, I think that we had been working on this merger for quite a number of years, because since the Irene Kaufman Center did establish a project or a club within a club for older adults, and they had programs of their own, there was a great deal of duplication. First of all, we were using community funds ill-advisedly, from my point of view.
Yeah, because the Kaufman Center was, because we weren't using.
Well, now wait a minute. We are using community funds. We're not using it from the Federation.
Oh, all right.
But when you contribute and I contribute, right, you're using community funds.
All right.
And they were using community funds both from their membership and from the Federation and from the United Fund and wherever they get their money. And it isn't right or fair to a community, in my opinion, to have two programs, even though the Anniston House program was a much more extensive one, across the street, literally across the street from each other or around the corner. That was number one. And I've discussed this angle of it many, many times. Once in your office, Frida.
You remember that
very distinctly.
I certainly do.
I even brought her, they asked me what our budget was, and I told them, and they nearly dropped over. Our budget at that time, you didn't come in at $25,000. Our budget at that time, and I can see it in front of me, was $18,500. And I gave it to them, and Alvin Rogal said, "You must be joking." And I said, "No, I am not joking. That is our budget. I'm not going to ask you what your budget is, because I don't want to know." Do you remember that?
I remember that very well. The thing was that they couldn't believe how much actual work was done by volunteers.
That's right.
Whereas every professional program, everybody in the staff was
there. That's
right. And we really were producing this tremendous program.
So that was one thing. The other thing was that our folks, and I use the word folks because to me they're all one big family, always will be, were really hard put. They didn't know what to do first. They would go to the Ikes, and then there'd be a program at Anathan House, and they'd literally run back to Anathan House, or vice versa, and be so winded and so distraught that this was not good for them. All the good we were trying to do was being It just was no good.
Describe the competition on the street corner.
On the street corner? You mean when they would talk about what's going on in one place and what's going on
and
in another place?
Try to physically...
Yes. And literally try to pull different people into the different places. Oh, it was bad. It was not bad. Now, the merger today is very good. Numerically speaking, it's excellent. The program, I'm sure, will expand still further. We're getting more and more people, but still not nearly enough. I think one of the biggest things that they have to do is to go out into the Squirrel Hill community. I'm not even asking them to go to Oakland or to East End. Just Squirrel Hill and find all the people whom we are not attracting, because there are hundreds of them, Frida, literally hundreds, whom we should be getting, whom we are not getting. Now, why, I don't know. I think there are a couple of reasons. I think in some cases they don't know about it. Maybe their children haven't bothered to find out or to tell them. In other cases, maybe it's no transportation. And this is another big thing that we have to look into. We're certainly getting many more people today from Riverview, and many more from East End. And of course, Riverview, I think, that has a bus, and so they're bringing them. This is all good. But between the house and the Ikes now, we have room for many more people, and should have them. And so far, I don't see it. And this is one of the things that's bothering me. And I hope to talk to Saul or to Jerry about this someday, or to Art Rothman, who for years didn't even look at me or talk to me. Now he's very friendly. So you see, it has its compensations.
Identify him, Dorothy.
Art Rothman is the president, the chairman, executive director of the YIKC.
I guess maybe we ought to explain what some of the issues were in the struggle before merging. Tell about the feeling that the YIKC as a professional agency needed to supervise our director.
Well, they only said that... I think they felt that the staff, the professional staff, should be under one head. And there was reason for that. You get a staff of three professional people, and that's what we have. Anita LaPatton, of course, is not being paid by the council. She is being paid by the Ikes because she's the overall program director. Steve Baer and Irma Hausdorff, and Jackie Younger are the three professionals. Now, where we
of
met...
Of whom Jackie came from council.
Jack, I was going to say, where we had one professional in Jackie Younger, they had many. So we had to work this out. And the way it was worked out, and I guess this is very important, the professional staff is actually under the head, under the jurisdiction of Art Rotman. He, in turn, cannot do any hiring or firing or anything of a very drastic nature without consulting the overall committee, which is the next thing that I want to go into. There is an overall committee made up of lay people from the Ikes and from Anniston House.
From their boards.
Well, each one, and they're not all from the board. Some of them are senior citizens.
Oh, all right.
Each one has 12 members. And the chairman of the committee is always to be appointed by the president of the Council of Jewish Women. Now, they wanted jurisdiction over the professional staff, which we gave them. Council wanted jurisdiction over the, what shall we say, the policy making, the volunteer end of it, the lay groups.
That was a good
and
that
was
a good
very good separation.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it has turned out, and this has worked very well. The committee meetings have been very good, and at the next committee meeting, the couple of things that aren't bothering me, that's where I will bring it up, because that's a place,
mm-hmm.
no place
mm-hmm.
else.
And there is good feeling between the various...
Apparently the rapport is very good. It's very good among the senior citizens themselves, and it apparently is more than good among the professional staff.
And on the board, between the ones representing
the
two
yes,
different agencies.
Oh, yes, this is very good.
Mm-hmm.
This is very, and it's an excellent board. We have two members of the Anniston House senior citizens and two of the Ike senior citizens out of the 12. Two, we have 10
mm-hmm.
and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. Is it 10 or is it 8? Well, I think who's on there. I don't want to say what's not right. I have
well,
the agreement in there, but I'm too lazy
mm-hmm.
to get up. Well, we can say
that
an equal number.
Right. One of the most interesting things that I observed during the years I was watching the program was the fact that the professionals felt that they were giving the senior citizens more responsibility in policy determination
mm-hmm.
than the Council of
mm-hmm.
Jewish Women, and that from the Council of Jewish Women's point of view, there was a more patronizing attitude on
that's
the part of the volunteers.
That's what they felt.
That's
course,
what they
it wasn't
felt.
True.
And that's what amused me so much, because the fact was, although there were differences in dues requirements, which
yeah.
sort of substantiated their point of
yeah.
view, the fact was that when it came to program, it was we were always the ones who started and somehow with it must have been with the by
with
consulting the
well,
senior
Frieda,
citizens
the
that
Frieda.
We always started the program, which they always copied.
Yes, that's true, Frieda, but for years now, the senior citizens themselves have worked out the program.
Oh, I know.
The only time that we had a program director, actually, aside from Ethel, was when Sarah Lefkowitz did it. The first few years that I was chairman. Since then, there was no more program director, and the folks themselves, with the Jackie, who Ethel,
mm-hmm.
whoever was there,
mm-hmm.
plus the chairman,
mm-hmm.
arranged the program. So it was their program, really.
Well, it had to be. I mean, that was the
sure.
funny thing, because they, and we always found whatever program we had developed was being immediately
yeah.
imitated in the other
There's another thing which I didn't say. You know, as far as Anathan Hanser, this project is concerned, I could go on for 3 hours, which I'm not going to do anymore because I'm going to have a cup of tea because my mouth is getting dry.
You're really doing very well.
But the, we can inject a little humor into this. The thing I want to talk about, too, are the dues. Now, at the Ike's, they had a $10 due in order to join the Irene Kaufman Center. And they had a $3 due if they wanted to join the club. Now, Anathan House never had a club. And our dues to the section were $8. And our dues only instituted 2 or 3 years ago to Anathan House was $3. And that was only put in because we got the feeling from the folks themselves they wanted to pay something. Now, which was right. Should have been done before that. So in order to even this thing out, the Ikes were willing to forego the $10 due. It's another concession.
This was for the merger.
For the merger. And allow their people to join for $6, which would include the club plus the Irene Kaufman Center, and the Anathan House people were willing to go up from $3 to $6. As far as joining the section is concerned, the section will lose the $8 member, and now they all pay $6.
But, of course, for the section, it was never a requirement.
Oh, no.
As it was at the Iron
Company. Oh, no. There was never anything up until, when did we put in that $3 due? Maybe three years ago? Mm-hmm. They never paid anything for anything. If they wanted to become a member of the section, fine.
And, of course, many of them did contribute just on their own.
They contributed a lot of money on their own. They really did. They were very generous, those that could do it.
That was a big concession on the part of the Y, because they've been very unwilling to give up the membership dues for any category.
Oh, I know.
So that,
well, the Y, the Ikes really wanted this merge very badly, Frieda.
Do you want to give any acknowledgement of the role Federation played here?
Yes. The Federation has been really active in this. I'm trying to remember how long ago it is. I guess by now it must be pretty close to a year ago. Of course, I'd had very informal talks with people for a long time.
Well, that meeting we had in my office,
I tried
to start that. That was 8 years ago, but it didn't take
but
at that point.
It seems to me about a year ago, I got a phone call from Harriet Levinson, I think. And she said, she knew that I was disturbed about this because I'm friendly with Harriet and I'm on the women's board, you know, of the Federation, and she was the president and we talked a little bit. And she called me one day, one afternoon, and she said, would you be willing to meet with Saul Weisberg and Jerry Soroker on this business with the Anathan House and the Ikes? And I said, yes, I think I would if they have something constructive to offer. But I won't go alone, Harriet. I said, if I can take a councilwoman with me, I'll be glad to. She said, well, I'll be there. I said, Harriet, I love you dearly, but I still want another councilwoman there. I don't want anything that I may say to be misconstrued or misquoted. And she knew exactly what I meant, because in some of our other dealings with federations, they have been very much misquoted. Not in this regime. I want to make that very clear. Not in this regime. But this goes back many years. So I met with them. You know this story. Yeah.
You're not telling me.
And we had a wonderful couple of hours together. And they were most receptive. both Jerry and Saul, and they said anything that they could do to help to create this merger and to get it off on a sound basis, which was very important, that they would be glad to do it. Now, we had had meetings 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, I was present at meetings with the YIKC.
That's right. We used to meet over there. Nothing ever came of it. And I said to them very candidly, there's no point in devoting time to this unless something's really going to come of it. So I said to Saul, it might be a good idea for you to talk to Mr. Rothman, who doesn't want any part of this, and to the Ike's board. Let's see.
Let's identify Saul here. This is Saul Weisberg.
Saul Weisberg.
Associate Director of the Federation.
Yes.
In charge of social planning.
Right. And, well, they did. And apparently the reaction was very good. And I think Saul Weisberg did a very good job. And their board met and voted on just the idea of having a merger with nothing set, no budget, no nothing. And we asked them to wait, but they didn't wait. They went ahead and voted it in long before our board could meet. It was during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So they were ahead of us in that step. And then we voted, the board voted it in. And I think people have been very happy with it.
The thing that needs to be said is that originally where we found the Federation to be first negative our whole project,
yeah,
and then taking a rather destructive role as far as the competition between the two,
yeah,
organizations, and it ultimately came around to a very constructive,
that's right,
role.
They ultimately, I think, came around to the point of view that the women had a very fine project there.
And of course it was different people from the Federation.
Oh, entirely different. That's what I said. It wasn't this administration at all.
Right.
And, you know, all the trouble that we had with the Federation in the early years with Dr. Taylor, and then later on when they built the new building with Mr. Lindenberg, who was the executive director of the Ikes. All that is over and done with. And I will say this, that when I talked to Saul and Weisberg and Jerry Soroker, and incidentally, Mr. Soroker is the executive director of the United Jewish Federation. I have neglected to put that in. They realized, they kept saying, we know all the troubles that you've had over the years. We know why you are so leery about doing anything that smacks of Federation. We know all that. But let's forget it. And Margaret Lipson went with me to that meeting, and we both said at the same time, you forget it and we'll forget it. And we won't bring it up anymore. And when we left that meeting, I think Jerry Soroker was the one who said, in the long run, this can be a very good thing for both organizations, because your organization, to us, will now have an umbrella under which they can act and expand if necessary, which of course we knew what he meant, that the Federation, if we ever needed to come to them for something, would be a great deal more receptive than they were before. And as of now, we are occasionally having a couple of very informal meetings with Saul on different things, which may or may not come to be, who knows. So you can't tell in what direction this will go. The council itself, I'm sure, will never be federated. No, that's silly. How can I ever be sure of anything? But let's say, I believe, we'll never become federated. But that doesn't say that one of its projects can't become
federated. Right, and
federated.
The initial hurdle was crossed when Federation helped fund our tutorial project in Homewood,
yeah,
by providing for the bus and also making a joint activity with YITC.
And I'll tell you, Frieda, another thing, and Ellie, I always say Frieda, I should say Frieda and Ellie, so they know you're sitting here taking notes. Another thing, and I have to say this, boy, are we active. Not making any excuses for myself, my point of view has changed drastically, too.
Of course.
I mean, I used to be absolutely adamant, and you know that, as far as Federation was concerned. I'm not talking about their work overseas or anything like that. I'm talking about the Ikes, per se, and the Y. I was as adamant as any human being could be, because I had had nothing but trouble with them. Once I saw that the door was open, and these are different people, willing to listen to a different point of view without becoming domineering and nasty, well, my point of view changed too. And I think that helped in the merger.
Of course it did. There's something else that reminds me in our history, Dorothy, since we had a rather sensitive relationship with the Ikes from its founding, since they started by buying the old council house and the joint membership on the board. Remember then when we lost our membership?
The old council house.
When the Irene Kaufman Center was founded through buying the Council of Jewish Women.
Oh, the Columbian Council.
Columbian Council House.
Yeah.
And the membership of the board. Remember, we were to be permanently on the board.
The president was always to be on the board.
From council. And then that got wiped out with a merger of the Irene Kaufman Center and the YIKC.
That's right.
There was another thread to that rather.
Sure. All the way through, it was not
good. Feeling.
The original buying of Columbian Council School, which is what it was called, I don't think that created any hardship.
No, because we were on the board.
Yes, and besides that, I think that the women then felt that they could not continue a thing like this.
It became so big.
Oh, yes. They couldn't do it any more than we felt that we could continue Council House.
Right. It had to be turned over to someone.
Same thing.
Right.
All right, now we're going to have a cup of tea. Recess.
Dorothy, I think the one subject we haven't really touched on relating to council is the various kinds of fundraisings we've had. Do you want to try to reach back and see what all we've done?
Yeah, I don't remember what year it was that council first started to fundraise. The idea of fundraising was completely foreign to the Pittsburgh section, Council of Jewish Women. I don't know about the other sections. As far as Pittsburgh is concerned, we were always of the feeling, or had the feeling, that the organization should give service to the community in any capacity in which it was able to perform it, and the money would come from the membership dues or from contributions, voluntary contributions or investments or whatever we might have. The idea of going to the community to raise money came about because the National Council of Jewish Women, based in New York, went out on some separate projects of its own and needed money for administrative purposes. And because of that, they actually demanded a quota from each section affiliated with the national, with the mother organization. I can't recall, as I said, what year it was, but it's quite a number of years ago, and it seems to me that the first quota that the Pittsburgh section received from the National was in the neighborhood of $6,000, which, of course, at that time seemed a huge amount. And now, I don't know, I've forgotten what our quote is. What is it, Frieda, 20,000 or?
I really don't remember, Dorothy.
I really don't, but I know that it's way up there.
Did National always take a portion of the dues?
Oh, always.
That was from the beginning.
Yes, as far as I can recall, National always got a portion of the dues. Not the same portion which they get received today, not as much. But I think our quota today, I should know it, is something in the neighborhood of $20,000,
$21,000. I think it is, too.
And that's a huge sum of money for a section to give when they want to establish other projects and carry on their ongoing projects. However, through various types of fundraising, over the years we've been able to pay our quota each year. Sometimes it takes a whole year to pay it, but it's paid. Now, as far as the various types of fundraising, Council has had many. I can't recall whether the idea of a luncheon or a dinner dance came first. I don't remember this. I know that we have had luncheons with a guest speaker. I know that we have had performances, operettas, plays, what have you, performed at the Carnegie Music Hall. We had a performance once at the Syria Mosque. Do you recall that?
No.
You don't? Sure, I don't.
Oh, there was an anniversary, and downstairs in the Siri Mosque,
oh,
we had
no,
a history.
Oh, no, that was another thing. That came, they served downstairs. But the performance was in Siri Mosque proper. And they had a couple of big stars there. If you think I can remember who it was.
Siri Mosque still?
No.
Oh, all right.
No. Singers. Very well known.
Dorothy, how was the money raised? Was it through ticket sales?
Oh, always through ticket sales.
Or was it that you had to contribute and then
no,
were
at the musical things, well, in every instance, you had guarantors, sponsors, patrons, donors. That came before the ticket sale. That was always, that's the way every fundraising is done. Try to get in the big money first. And then tickets are sold. Like, for instance, for the performances of shows and things of that sort, tickets, of course, had to be sold for them to get in at the door. But the big money always came in before the actual ticket, per se, was sold. Now, as far as other fundraisings, and these fundraisings were all pretty successful. There was also one at the, where was that? I think at the William Penn, and it was a fashion show. We had a fashion show a couple of years, and we raffled automobiles. You don't remember that? Bessie Anniston won once. Sure.
Isn't that great?
And she proceeded then to give the section $500.
But she won an automobile.
Oh, sure. And then, of course, during that time, because these affairs were switched off, and of course everybody always said Council never sticks to anything when it comes to fundraising, which is true. We'd start with one thing, we'd go to another thing after a couple of years. In what order I couldn't begin to tell you. We had very successful dinner dances, which were, these were before the Angel Ball idea. Regular, very formal and beautiful dinner dances with a fine orchestra and a fine dinner and prizes, and all sorts of gimmicks to get people in. And that, again, was done the same thing. We went out for our big contributions, and on the program it was listed these people were guarantors or sponsors or patrons, or and the donors pay were the ones for the most part who bought a ticket for, let's say, for $25 for two people for a dinner. Imagine that today for two people. Then, of course, at one period we did a very exciting thing, at least, and I think it was exciting because while I had been chairman of some of the other fundraisings, dinner dances and so forth, this was a brand new idea, and whether it was good or bad, I have to take credit for it, and that was the carnival. This was probably one of the greatest fundraising stunts that ever was pulled in Pittsburgh.
I don't remember this.
You don't. Minnie Sussman was president. She was about 7 months pregnant with Bix at the time. We originally had it scheduled for, I think it was the Hilton, may have been the William Penn, either one of the hotels. And lo and behold, a week before the carnival, we had a hotel strike. And 2 days later, a streetcar strike. So we had to move it the last 3 or 4 days from the hotel, whichever one it was, to the Y. And the Y cooperated by taking all the seats out of the auditorium. And that's where we held the carnival. And this was a fantastic event. There were booths built. It must have been at least 4 or 5 days prior that we started to work at the Y, because there was an enormous amount of work. All along the walls of that entire auditorium were booths of different things, whether it be cakes or artwork or whatever. And all manned by volunteers, and all the volunteers, and all stocked by volunteers, and decorated by volunteers. You can imagine the volunteers connected with this. Then in the middle of the floor, we had games. We had horse races, we had all kinds of games. And everything, of course, was for cash. There was no gambling connected with it. It was out-and-out cash. You bought something at a booth, or you played a game, and you paid so much to play the game. People won, but they won prizes, not money. There must have been, at one time in that auditorium, I think it was counted, as well as could be, close to 3,000 people.
Wow!
I was absolutely beside myself with worry about what was going to happen, because let anything happen in a room of that size with that many people, it could have been the worst panic in the world. I was just beside myself. I was glad to see all these people, but imagine the number of people, and they just poured in from all over the tri-state area. Minnie, at that time, as I've said, was pregnant, quite pregnant, and I got terribly concerned about her. So I sent her up on the stage.
So she wouldn't be jostled.
And made her sit there. She reminds me of this very frequently. Well, when the evening was over, we were left with huge sums of money. And it was a Saturday night. We had, of course, plainclothesmen all around the hall stationed during the event. When it was over, it was over. And there we were with bags and bags of money. And what to do with it?
Such a problem.
We couldn't get it to a night depository because it was all cash. We couldn't put it in a night depository. So, what did we do? We got a couple of policemen, and the two policemen and my husband and I took it with us to where we lived at that time, the old Moorwood Gardens, and we took it up to the apartment, and my husband and the policemen sat up all night watching the money. I was so exhausted I had to go to bed. He was pretty tired too, but somebody had to do it. And the next morning, we arranged, I don't know how, or through
a Sunday,
to get one of the banks to open up. And when we deposited the money, we had almost $20,000 in cash.
Wow, isn't
$19,800 and some dollars. I will never forget it. And, of course, in addition to the money, it was such a huge success. And we ran it I think that when we just ran for that one night, yes, I'm sure of it. Then the next year we had it again, and Florence Goldsmith Salick was the chairman of that, and I was her vice chairman or helped her or something. And it was successful, but not as successful, because we ran it a Saturday night and a Sunday afternoon. And so it wasn't, neither one of the events were as exciting as when we had it that first Saturday night. Well, then council discontinued that unit for one reason.
By the way, Dorothy, yeah. Even recently, our most successful fundraisings with inflated money and all that still comes around that same
figure. Oh, yes, and this was a tremendous figure at that time.
Yes, it would be.
I
would estimate it to be twice the value of our present.
That's right, and things were sold very reasonably, you know, in the games. I think it was a quarter a game. Of course, we sold strips of tickets, you see, just like they do at Kennywood Park or anywhere else. Well, anyway, the reason that it was discontinued was that it was too much work, and no other chairman would undertake it. Because I worked on that, I would say, for a good 6 months, at least, maybe longer than that. Because we must have had, to run that first carnival, at least 400 to 500 volunteers.